It's a warm, still night in late September along the Niobrara River, flowing east through Nebraska's Sandhills Prairie. The moon is nearly full, casting a sparkly white trail of ripples along the water's burbling curves. The humid night air is vibrating with life. Ground crickets, tree crickets, and many other singing insects that I don't recognize give voice to this place with 1,000 wings and legs. The sounds are different from the nighttime chorus I know in Montana, but equally magical. The owls that were singing a few minutes ago have fallen silent. I can no longer hear the plaintive tremolo of the eastern screech owl, nor the deep hoots of the great horned owls in the distance. But now, above the melodic burbling of the water, something starts making a terrible, screeching racket, as if Halloween has come a month early to this forest. I suspect this horrible sound is a young great horned owl. Hi, I'm Shane Sater, author of Wild with Nature. This story is from September 28th, 2023, and it's called A Portrait of Nature Along the Niobrara River. If you're a more visual person and want to follow along with text and photos while you listen, you can also find it on my website, wildwithnature.com. So now, let's continue with the story. Part 1. The Personality of a Place. I came to Nebraska for a few days to work on a field biology project. Now the work is done, but I've stayed for a little while longer. There's something fascinating to me about getting to know the plants and animals of a new area, the sounds and smells, the seasonal patterns, that whole unique combination of creatures and happenings, that tumult of life that gives every place on Earth its own unique personality. For one area along the Niobrara River, this story is a sketch of that personality. It's impossible to express in words how much I love riparian areas, those amazing habitats that trace the edges of rivers and streams. Living in the western United States, in the cold, dry interior of the continent, it's no wonder. In this harsh region, it's impossible to ignore how important riparian areas are to all sorts of plants and animals. And there's something wonderful to me about being immersed in such an abundance of life. Along Montana's rivers, I think of the cottonwood stands, where the western wood pewees and least flycatchers sing, where northern flickers and tree swallows nest. White-tailed deer bed down underneath. At night, beavers swim out to forage from their dens in the riverbanks, and yellow-breasted chats sing in the darkness. Part 2. Plants and Animals Along the Niobrara River. Here along the Niobrara River, there's so much that is different, but at the same time, it's so much like home. The air is more humid, with moisture carried from the Gulf of Mexico. The plains' cottonwoods and green ashes that I know from eastern Montana are joined by trees and vines typical of the deciduous forests farther east. And the birds are a bit different, too. Bur oaks spread their strong limbs and form groves along the river, dropping acorns for wild turkeys. The nasal calls of the blue jays join the familiar ones of the robins and cedar waxwings. Exuberant wild grapes climb the trees and dangle juicy clusters of small fruits. The grapes have tart skins and large seeds, but they're abundant, and the juice is incredible, rich and acidic and complex. Along this Nebraska river, there are the familiar flickers and downy woodpeckers that I know from Montana, as well as the red-headed and red-bellied woodpeckers of the eastern United States. The hackberry trees are new to me, the patterns of their corky bark forming a beautiful contrast with the cottonwoods. They have small purple fruits with a large seed and a thin, dry pulp that tastes incredibly like dates. The seeds, once I've scraped the tasty pulp off with my teeth, are covered with an intricate, net-like design. Part 3. Sparrows and Sandhills. In this place, Many of the migrant songbirds of late fall are the same species I know from Montana. Flocks of Lincoln sparrows and juvenile white-crowned sparrows call softly from the American plum thickets, already leafless with the approach of fall. The green ashes along the river have turned golden, and a few yellow-rumped and orange-crowned warblers hunt insects in the canopy, the stragglers in the fall flood that warbler migration has been. In the dry hills of sand above the river, vesper sparrows and savanna sparrows fly up from the wild sunflowers along the road. But other than the wild sunflowers, the prairie plants are quite different here. Reddish-purple expanses of little bluestem and the tawny seed heads of sand bluestem have replaced the bluebunch wheatgrass that is so common in western Montana. The moon-like flowers of white prickly poppy glow along the dirt roads. Part 4. The Connections of Memories. Years ago, before I became an avid naturalist, I lived in North Carolina. Here in Nebraska, there are sounds and creatures that make me think of that place, stirring half-conscious memories from long ago. Voices of the nighttime insect chorus. Wild grapes climbing with joyful abandon. Oak forests along the river. There would have been eastern screech owls in North Carolina, too, though I don't remember them from my childhood. As far as I know, this is the first time I've ever heard that tremolo in the night. I had hoped I might. Sleeping out under the stars in this incredible place, this richness of big cottonwoods, hackberries, and grapevines. This story can't do this place justice, but it's a sketch and an invitation that we can spend time getting to know places like this, places that remind us that life is vast and we are part of it. The rivers are paths of life. These forests along their banks are full of magic, seen and unseen. Part 5. Coyotes in the Night and Seeds in My Pocket. Suddenly the coyotes join the nocturnal chorus of insects, yipping and barking in a crescendo from the ponderosa pines to the north. It's good to know they're here. These animals whose voices weave into the stories of so many of the original people of this land. In a few minutes after the coyote music has faded away, I hear the screech owl again. The owl is directly across the river from me now, voice plunging in a series of hauntingly beautiful whinnies. Sometimes the song stays level, a melodious, pensive trill. The next day, as I return home to Helena, I go with one pocket filled with grape seeds. Another is full of hackberry seeds. I don't know why. Both are species of the Great Plains and of eastern North America. The native distribution of hackberry barely reaches eastern Montana, while wild grape is found just in the southeastern corner of the state. Planting them around Helena, several hundred miles farther west, probably doesn't make much ecological sense. It's very possible that both will end up sitting on a shelf in labeled envelopes, moments of inspiration set aside for the future. Part 6. From the Niobrara River to Riparian Life Everywhere. But I think there's something important here. A seed, if you will, of love for riparian habitats. Anytime I'm in a place like this, where the screech owls sing and life is thriving, I want to help it thrive even more. And so I notice patterns. Which plants the birds and insects like? Which native species are uncommon and could be more common? I gather seeds and plant them. I pull non-native grasses from around patches of goldenrod, wild mint, and other native riparian plants. Sometimes I help plant cottonwoods and chokecherries on stream restoration sites. And I camp in places like this, where the owls sing and the wild fruits ripen, and I dream of a few more of them, along our rivers, and in our yards. Thanks for listening. This story, like all of my work, is possible only because of the generous support of listeners like you. Many thanks. Again, you can also find it in written form, along with lots of photos, on my website, wildwithnature.com. While you're there, check out my donate page, where I acknowledge the community who supports my work. If you're able, you can also follow links from there to make a monthly donation or a one-time contribution. For as little as $5 a month, you can become a Milkweed supporter, an integral part of the community that helps me continue sharing these stories. Again, thank you. I produced this recording with equipment and facilities provided by MCAT, Missoula, Montana's community media resource. Many thanks to MCAT and the Missoula Public Library for their assistance. Until next time, get outside. And while you're out there, take some time to visit a riparian habitat near you. Maybe collect some seeds. Ask yourself how you can help that place thrive more. And if you'd like, leave a comment or get in touch with me and tell me about your connection with the riparian habitats near you. See you next time.